Well, we've celebrated with parents about their intention to raise their child in love and faith and in the knowledge of God here between us. And we've given our support to that family. And goodness knows, when we see stories like that around the globe and we hear things here, parents need wisdom and understanding how to raise their children, and we need thoughtfulness in this very complex world to demonstrate God's love. I thought parenting was tough in our day. That seems a long time ago now. But certainly there seems more and more pressures surrounding and much, much more information flooding in, not only globally, but from states and from governments and from community groups. And it's hard to weed out the noise that's constantly coming at us and also at parents. Competing philosophies, beckoning us, points of view, what is right and what is wrong, and I think sometimes overreaching responsibilities into parental roles. And perhaps you're not at a point of a parent at the moment, specifically caring for a little one. Maybe your children are older, or maybe you've got other circumstances, but you're concerned as you see a plethora of information and difficulty coming at us, philosophies from all sorts of points of view. And you're likely to be surrounded by things that promote self-esteem, self-awareness, a whole range of details, global issues that come at us at a rapid rate. And whatever stage we are in, at times I think the noise can be deafening of where to respond. It is loud, and I don't know about you, but it's exhausting. And sometimes you come to church and say, I don't want to hear any more about the things. But I've got something that encourages us. My statement for today comes from the book of Colossians, and it is to love when we are surrounded by noise. That's why I hope that something in that can impact us today. Now, for those who know a bit of music, perhaps you identify with someone called Nelly Furtado, a singer on the last 5 or 10 years. She came up with a song, and then maybe you guys can... How many? 15, 20. I'm getting old, right? Okay. Okay, yeah, age catches up with us. Maybe you can finish this slide. I'm like a bird. I want to fly away. I don't know where my soul is. There's so much going on. Perhaps you can go back a bit later in my era for someone like the Rolling Stones, who's had so much around them. And what did they say? I can't get no satisfaction. Too much happening. But we go back a little further. We can come to a guy called Solomon, the wisest of them all, and he penned Ecclesiastes. And even though he had so much around him and so much activity, essentially he came to the point where saying it's meaningless until I know my Creator. You know, we're more than just flesh and bodies. There's a deep yearning within our soul for satisfaction, for practical care and love, and it's essential for us. And if we ignore that spiritual desire in this plethora of things that come at us, it can be at our peril. So it's a challenge for parents, for each of us. What is good? What is right? How do we meet the needs and maintain love and be balanced and be rounded in our spiritual approach in an age where there's many voices, sometimes harmful philosophies that are coming at us, religious legalism can pressure us, and even self-centered spirituality where people just want to block everything out and do my own thing. This is not new to us. Generations throughout centuries have grappled with how to live with love in a difficult world. Indeed, the Apostle Paul spoke to brothers and sisters in a little city called Colossae, and we find out this from the book of Colossians. And we've started this series only a few weeks ago, so this is topic number 3. Paul had heard of their faith in this little city. Now, Jackie and I toured. This is in Western Turkey, in one of the cities there. It's one of the small leftover sites, not much archaeology. So it's a real place in that time. Paul heard that there was this faith taking place. He wasn't there to set it up. He was actually currently in Rome, arrested for sharing his faith, what we're simply doing today. He was coping with two, noise and difficulty thrust at him. But while he's in prison, he's interested in the love and sustaining of a community he'd never met, but he'd heard that their faith was growing. That's love. He continued, even when there's so much distraction and noise, with a deep desire to see love be sustained when there's noise and difficulty coming in. He did this while in chains for his faith. There's an encouragement for us to be faithful in our time. It's my hope today that we may be encouraged in heart and be united in love. And that comes from this text in chapter 2, verse 2. Encouraged in heart and be united in love. So let me pray as we look at this verses. Father, we just thank you that we can come. Thank you that we can celebrate the beauty of life. Thank you that we can actually kind of breathe out a little, that we can sing words of praise, to check out from the busy and distracting and sometimes complicated world, and to sit quietly. So I pray, Lord, that the words that have been said in your text that I can read today will bring encouragement and love to us today. Amen. Okay, Colossians chapter 2. Paul's begun to say that he's heard about them. He wanted to say something, but he had not been there. In chapter 2, verse 2, he says, my goal in writing to these people he'd not met, but he'd heard that they were facing difficulty, my goal is that they may be encouraged in heart and be united in love. And I think that's a goal for us today, and I pray that that'll be something that will come through to you, so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding. Don't we need that? Better understanding, spiritual understanding of what's happening in our world, in order that they may know the mystery of God, the creator of the universe, namely Christ. Why? Christ's identity as the one who came and been foretold, in whom is hidden all the wisdom and treasures of, are hidden all treasures of wisdom and knowledge. I think I'll put my glasses on. I'm trying without it, even though it's 20 font. So, yes, we are getting older, aren't we? Paul had an encounter with the risen Jesus, and so did many others who shared the story to this small group in Colossae, and they were convinced that Jesus, in Jesus, holds all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Christ Jesus, the strength in our being, can filter out the competing noises, and we can discover a deeper reality of the truth of God. He says this, I tell you this so that no one may deceive you with fine-sounding arguments. Colossians 2, verse 5. For though I am absent from you in the body, in other words, he's contained in a prison cell, I am present with you in spirit, and I delight to see how disciplined you are and how firm your faith in Christ is. Paul's desire was that believers may be encouraged in heart and be united in love, while he himself was isolated and finding difficulty. But he had a disciplined life and understood the riches of God's wisdom and knowledge, which empowered him in his place. Even though he was facing social and political and spiritual pressures. So that message is for us too, to resist being exasperated by the world around us. Who's done that a little bit lately? Exasperated by what you see and needing to turn off social media and have a break, for everything floods in negative ways. The message is for us. Don't be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. I don't know if you know, between the left and the right in our social things, there's tension going on there. Between East and West, between rich and poor, between the haves and the have-nots, for those who are suffering and those who are in ease, from the past and the future, all sorts of competing views. And Paul makes it clear, and the scriptures make clear, there's one person who has wisdom and knowledge and can bring unity in amongst all the differences of our world, and it is Christ. There are some fine-sounding arguments and there are some not-so-fine-sounding arguments. God's love and justice will unite us and deepen our understanding once we delve into who Christ is more and more. He says, I tell you this so you may not be deceived by fine-sounding arguments. Well, we've seen people with argumentative points of view who struggle to listen to the other. Everyone feeling as though theirs is the right one in their echo chamber, if that's the term in this context. Is that right? This ancient community were facing similar tensions that could tear them apart and tear them away from peace and from the love of God. They had competing voices and pressures. And Paul highlights three areas that I want to share with you. Three areas to grow in wisdom and love and understanding. Colossians 2 verse 8. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow, deceptive philosophy. That's a bold statement. Which depends on human tradition and the elemental or the basic spiritual forces of this world rather than on Christ. Let no one take you captive by hollow, deceptive philosophy. You know, so I've got love, not false philosophy as a statement. Let's unpack that. At the time, there was an entrenched pride in Greek philosophy and Roman mythology. There was a pantheon of gods at war with one another and with people. So much hollow tradition. Paul is not saying reject philosophy because we see a lot of philosophy and wisdom. It's actually the search for wisdom. And we see that in the Bible, in Ecclesiastes and Psalms and Proverbs. He's not saying reject that, but watch false philosophy that confuses our world. Reject it that it's deceptive because, number one, it diminishes love between people. And it divides communities. An unhealthy ideology that is at peace, that odds with the peace of Christ's unity and love. Watch out for it, even though we may think we're right. It seems to me that we are witnessing a lot of hollow philosophy in the ideology of oppression or victimhood or violence, and people shouting at one another, empty of love and of service and of care. And of encouraging faith, that should be a sign that it's false. It is not what we see in the life of Jesus. So my phrase for that is love over lies. May our love focus over any lies that happen. Paul affirms that it is Christ who is worthy of our trust. In Colossians 2, 9 and 11, for in Christ all the deity of lives in bodily form. That's a bold statement. One person has the deity of Christ, of God in full form. In Christ, you have been brought into the fullness. He is the head over every power and authority, and all the world will ultimately submit to him. What Paul and the first believers witnessed in Jesus Christ is that God, he was God in person. Significant statement. No one else had that attributed to them. He is loving. He was just. He was tangible. He was trustworthy. He gave his life. He restores us. He enables forgiveness between people. He took away the pain between us and our Creator. Through simple, uncomplicated faith in the person Jesus, that fullness and love can reach each of us. So firstly, perhaps you've been unsettled or influenced by plethora of philosophy or issues in our time. So I encourage you in heart and be united in love found in investigating more of Jesus to sustain our love when there are things flying at us of confusing nature. May you be united in love and encouraged in heart by investigating more of who Jesus is. Secondly, Paul encourages them to resist religious pressure. So here we are in a church. Circumstances, people can actually increase religious pressure. Colossians 2 verse 6, therefore do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink with regards to a religious festival or a new moon celebration or a Sabbath day. Goodness. So my statement is love, not religious legalism. Paul notes that the Colossians community were being drawn into legalism, like setting rigid rules on how to live. Asceticism was exalted. And people often do this when the world seems too much, create rules because you can't control out there, you make it harder. They turn inwards and religious rules can increase. And aggression and power can dominate people's actions. And we see that in circumstances around the world. Judging others, implying do's and don'ts on other people out of insecurity, I think, for some feeling of security. So my other phrase for this is choose love over legalism. There's no ritual needed to gain God's acceptance. No do's and don'ts, primarily just an act of trust and believing in Jesus' power to restore each of us. I know we have baptism and we have communion and we also have dedications, but they're an act in response to God's love. We come and regularly to share and worship in response to God's love, so we go. We don't do it to gain, because it has already been done on our behalf. Jesus paid the price for your failure and mine. He's presented us holy and worthy before our Creator. So we come freely in an act of joy and want to acknowledge and participate because of his love for us, not to gain it as a religious legalism exercise. We come here to praise him because of his love for us. Paul stated about these empty rituals, these are shadows of the things that are to come. In reality, however, is all found in Christ alone. Paul's wisdom from God is to celebrate life's festivals and the rhythms of things we do with peace and with liberty and enjoyment and freedom, not as a sense of spiritual pride or legalism or to conform to something. It is primarily an act of joy in response to him. We know that even these things are temporary, so why make rules and laws that force people to do things on what we believe? It is an endeavor to ask people to be invited in by free and open faith. So perhaps you're being unsettled or influenced by religious legalism where you see circumstances in our context, in our world. I encourage you in heart and to be united in love by delving more into who Jesus is, to sustain love over legalism. May we live in freedom. Lastly, Paul encourages them in writing, do not let anyone who delights in false humility and the worship of angels disqualify you. Such a person goes into a great deal about what they have seen. They are puffed up with idle notions in their unspiritual mind. Well, that's pretty colourful language, Paul. So my title is, may we love over self-centred spirituality. It seems that the community around the Colossian church was interested or proud in mysticism, or the worship of spiritual beings. Pagan or cultic worship was common, and the church was being concerned about this. So I encourage you, love from Christ over the lifestyles of spirituality. Paul makes this assertion, they have lost connection with the head, from whom the whole body is supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews. It grows as God causes it to grow. So they've lost connection to God in the pursuit of mysticism, chasing of angels or spirits or crystals and Wicca. I see those things on the rise in our society. They're not the answer when there's a plethora of other things. It's found again in one person. Self-help can only go so far. Our soul longs for a deeper, lasting connection to the divine. And Paul wants to make it clear that Jesus Christ is our Lord, the true, tangible person, the resurrected Son of God, the head of all life, and the only way to know him and to be in love with our Creator is to discover more of Christ. Perhaps you're being unsettled or influenced by the mysticism you may see in our time. Are you encouraged in heart and be united in love in Christ to sustain over all these lifestyles around us? The Apostle Paul summarizes these three issues with these words, these rules which have to do with the things that are destined to perish with use. They are based merely on human commands and teachings. Such regulations indeed have the appearance of wisdom with their self-imposed worship, their false humility and their harsh treatment of the body, but they lack any value in restraining. And he says, in restraining sexual indulgence, one of the most difficult things to restrain and to have balance, he says, nothing of that can help restrain all these things. Only Jesus, the Christ, the one worthy of of lordship over us is worthy of our attention and trust. The one who encourages our hearts, who loves us, and who unites us in a community of worship and praise with everlasting value, not temporary ones. Our Heavenly Father is love and just. He's provided for our deepest spiritual needs if we freely accept him. So these three things, just to sort of bring and wrap up together, and I'll soon invite the team back. When we see the plethora of noise around us and which way to start and which way to go, may I encourage you, love over all things. And may we find it in Christ's love. Love over lies, that's false philosophy. Love over legalism, the pressure of doing things a certain way. May we have love over the lifestyles of mysticism and spirituality. May love permeate, even when we have disagreements with those. And perhaps there's one area in your life that you're needing to block out the noise today, where you can seek wisdom and knowledge of Jesus Christ and find peace. I encourage you to do so. That's one area to let go and to allow the peace of God to come. Paul affirms the truth about what Christ Jesus has already done for us. He says this in Colossians 2, verse 13. And God made you alive with Christ. By faith in him, he's made us alive. In other words, dead to those things. He has forgiven all of our sins. In other words, the things that we've stumbled over, the things we haven't expressed well. He has cancelled the record of the charges against us. Believe it or not, we've all got a charge against us because no one's perfect. He's cancelled that. He's taken it away by nailing it to the cross. Amen. No more legalism. No more false philosophy. No mysticism. It is all found in the one who was born in Bethlehem, the foretold Jesus of Nazareth, who was raised to life, and is our Lord and Saviour, should we accept him. I'm going to invite the team to come back. Let me pray with you. Father, we recognise that this world has many things, competing voices, pressures around us. We thank you, Lord, that you can give us discernment. We thank you that we have a place to stop and ponder some things. And Lord, may there be one or two things today that you've called us to dig a little deeper and to love and to reject things that are false, to reject things that are legalistic, to reject things that are mystic, and to continue to hunger and to dig deeper into the person of Jesus, in whom all wisdom and knowledge is found, for hope and for life, for freedom and for eternity. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, team.